Take some time here to do an Advent reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, it's good to be with you today. It's a great privilege to be with you. It's like was shared earlier with Norma, just in the introduction. It's been a number of years since I've been in a vineyard service, and that time that I spent in the vineyard was, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s. So that's about 20 years ago now. So it's been a bit of a journey in my life since that time. And so it was a really interesting time of my life where I had actually stepped away from youth ministry in actually a Baptist church at that time. And I was in seminary at the time, was going through some personal challenges in my life, some deep personal challenges, kind of one of the darkest times of my life at that time. And I found myself at the Vineyard Church. And it was a place where I felt I met Christ through my time there. It was a place of healing and a place where I met with the Lord time and time again. And so it's with a warm heart that I come here today being able to share with you today. And because it's been so significant in my life as part of my own journey. Today we're going to be looking at the subject of peace here at Christmas. We read that passage earlier, and maybe I'll go over it again in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, and the government will, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let me just take a moment just to pray once again. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can be here together today. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what it is that you want to do in us today. I pray that as the word is proclaimed here, that our hearts would be receptive to what it is that you want to say to each of us individually. I believe that you have something for each of us here today. Help us to be aware of what you are doing. Quicken us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we read that passage and we have this great picture of, yes, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the government will be on his shoulders. And of course, we haven't seen the full fulfillment of that entirely yet. And we're waiting for that day when there will be the consummation of history and all things, and Jesus will return. But in the meantime, we live in the not yet, and sometimes it's just a very uncomfortable and challenging place to be. Yes, there's times of joy. It's interesting I've been reading this year through some reflections from, I don't know if you know the musician Steve Bell from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Anyways, he came and he spoke to us pastors, or sang to us at a pastor's conference in November. And I picked up some of his music, as well as he has some church through the year kind of reflections, and he has some Advent reflections that I've been reading through, and I've been challenged by that. And one of the things that he spoke about in his reflections is that Advent was at one point of time much like a time of Lent, where especially in the beginning of Advent, in the first couple weeks of Advent, there was there ought to be, if you will, a time of reflection, a time of evaluation of the heart as we come before the Lord. And it was often a time of fasting before a time of feasting. And I found that interesting. And he talked about how, in his book, he talked about how a time of feasting is much more appreciated after a time of fasting. And so I encourage us as we step into this Advent journey towards Christmas, but also anticipating Christ's return, that we would enter a time of fasting, if you will, a time of searching our hearts, a time of waiting on God, that we would, maybe our hearts would be broken with the brokenness of God's heart, I think, for the world. We really live in the not yet. We're waiting that time when Christ comes, but we live in a broken world until that time. We see it all around us, the choices of humanity, the broken choices quite often, many times. People living, for the most part, at times in opposition to God, sometimes running away from God. I think that's probably the predominant characteristic, is people are staying busy and running and avoiding, if at all possible, any hint of one's conscience or the voice of God speaking into one's heart. I admit that sometimes I do that too. I get busy, I get caught up in things, and I miss what God may be doing even around me too. And I think that's true for us as well, collectively. And so the peace of God is what we're going to be looking at today. How can we experience peace on multiple levels? Peace in the Old Testament was the word shalom. I'm sure you're familiar with the word shalom, but I think we don't have a full understanding. If you want a great summary of the word peace or shalom, the Bible Project guys, if you look up on YouTube, the Bible Project Peace, they have a video on peace and talking about shalom. What does shalom mean in our lives? It's a great extra teaching if you want to go and just look at that. But it's a holistic type idea of where there's healing from within. There's physical, emotional, and just internal wholeness as a part of that type of peace. And so today, as we're looking at the peace, or at peace in our lives, or shalom, I want us to be looking at how do we experience peace with God, how do we experience peace with one another, and how do we experience peace within ourselves. So first of all, how do we make things right with God? And most of us know the story of how we go about doing that. But like I said, as we look at the world around us, there are some who are open to what God is doing in their lives. And then there are those that are just running. There are those that are staying busy. There are those that are escaping through all kinds of escapes, addictions, all those kind of behaviors that are just an avoidance of the pain or the hurt that's within. I spent a number of years, 14 years, of the last 14 years prior to coming here to Yellowknife, working with the men in inner city Edmonton at a place called Hope Mission. And I worked with men in addiction. And I saw this time and time again where people would be struggling with addiction, finding themselves at the homeless shelter. That's the last place they wanted to be. But in the course of being at the last place that they wanted to be, it was at that place where somebody asked them, "Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired yet?" And there was a recognition of, yes, I'm done. Where do I go? I need help. And our staff would be awesome just to step in and lead them and then direct them to our recovery program that we had. And but they needed something. And we all need something. And we know that that something is Christ in our lives. The way to peace with God is described in Romans 5. Verses 1 to 2. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. None of us looked for that, but God often pursued us, and it's often in those places of desperation where I would see the lights go on in the eyes of the men who came into the program when they'd encounter Christ, and you'd see from the, you know, the lost weight and the shrunken in faces through crack use or whatever, that the light would go on and the eyes would begin to sparkle again. And, you know, their picture coming into the program was one picture, but then even a few months later, 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later, there was a different scene. Life was coming back into the physical body of these men. And I remember one brother who has since gone to the Lord. I remember one time him being at the door and I'm just seeing the sparkle in his eyes, and it just struck me how God had worked a transformation in him. And he was so grateful. And now he's with the Lord. That's good. We didn't search for that, but God pursued us. And Romans 5 goes on to talk about that. In Romans 5, 6-8, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we each have a story of how Jesus came to us in some way. But we were all powerless under sin. We needed his help. We needed his rescue. And this is the first part of experiencing his peace in our lives, is coming to a place of surrender, where we essentially say what the 12 steps says, "I can't, he can, so I'll let him," which is really surrender. It's like, "God, I come and I need Jesus in my life. I recognize his sacrifice, the fact that he laid down his life on the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sin. And he took that on himself." And this is our hope. This is our trust that he will transform our lives as we put our faith and hope in him. And it's as simple as just confessing that. And 1 John 1:9 is our reminder of that. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And it's as simple as that. It's just to say, "Jesus, come into my life," and he'll come in to your life. And that's where the journey begins, really, where we begin our journey of experience his peace in our lives. Then it goes usually to another level. And really, you know, peace with God is one step. And that was the first step for me, of course, in my life. And I think it's the first step for many of us. But really, the step of peace with others and the peace with self, I think that one can almost be interchangeable. And so I'm going to kind of track with peace with others first. But really, God really worked on myself first, and then I experienced peace with others in a secondary kind of way. It was another vineyard experience after I had left the vineyard, gone back to the Baptist church. I spent some time vacationing and went home to where my parents and siblings live in Winnipeg, and decided to drop in on the Winnipeg vineyard. And at that time, that was, again, it was like some 20 years ago. And I, you know, just quietly went there. God was doing some stuff in my life. And one of those things that he was doing is he was working on my forgiveness towards my father at that time, and being able to forgive my dad through his workaholism. He was emotionally unavailable for much of my growing up years, and I was really hurt by that. And I was working, before I worked in the inner city with guys in addiction recovery, I worked with Hope Mission with teens in group home work. And during that time, I was essentially parenting broken kids. And it was through that I was realizing I was broken and I needed God's healing and parenting in my life. And so this was going on in my life at the time. So I went to this church and heard a service. I don't even remember what David Ruiz preached at that time, but But I went up for prayer during the prayer ministry time, and the person who prayed for me, you know, this is the story, right? You go up for prayer and the Spirit opens up things, and the Spirit said to this man to say to me, I have a sense that you're working through some father issues in your heart, and you're working through some forgiveness towards your dad. And, you know, I was busted up at that point, right? And so God did a work of healing in my life there. And so God wants to bring restoration to families as well, and to relationships. He wants us to experience peace with others. Sometimes that will be the case, but sometimes it won't happen. And Luke reminds us of that here. In Luke chapter 12, verses 51 to 53, it says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth?" So on the one hand, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet he's saying, "No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus sometimes rattles things in our lives. And as I was getting whole in my life, I realized I'm the oldest of three kids in my family growing up, my family where I grew up in. And when God was doing some healing in my life, even though we grew up in a Christian family, we had some dysfunction. I think some areas where, yeah, we all needed healing. I know we did. But as God began to do some healing in my life, that shifted the whole family dynamic, and it upset things. And so when I confronted some things with my parents, it wasn't well received on my mom's part. My dad was much more receptive, but it shook things up. And so when Christ comes and brings healing in your life, sometimes it will upset the family system. And we know that's true even in persecuted families where one person becomes a believer, and if it's a religious family, perhaps even Muslim or from that family background, there's a strong hold in terms of the culture and essentially the perception of dishonor, and you're turning your back on us. You're now an apostate, and there's division. So Christ comes, and there's a huge cost to giving your life to Christ. So sometimes it doesn't all work well in terms of that promise of the Prince of Peace coming. It will bring division in this life. So we shouldn't expect it'll be always that peace residing, but it's an internal peace. But yet we're reminded to pursue peace. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." So do whatever you can to establish or bring peace into situations. Or Hebrews 12:14, where it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Scripture reminds us as well that we have to be the initiators. If we have hurt someone, we need to be the one making amends. If we need to forgive others, we need to be the one who's initiating forgiving others. And so whether it's the Matthew 18, where you need to confront those that you are forgiving, or Matthew 23 to 24, where you need to take initiative to make amends, reminded, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go, be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." I tell you, this is one of the biggest blocks that I have seen for anyone in terms of past history of addiction has been this area of forgiveness. It's been wounding in the past and in childhood, and the brokenness of the past in terms of maybe forgiving a parent, forgiving a relative, whatever that circumstance may be. But this is what keeps people stuck when they can't forgive. And there's something about even just admitting to God to say, "You know what, God, help me to forgive. I'm having such a hard time." And that begins the process of forgiveness. And if you'll just take that step to choose to step into that and ask God for help to help you forgive, that he'll begin to help you to forgive that person. We also have at Calvary Community Church, Celebrate Recovery, Thursday night, 7 p.m. So if you want a place, just a place of safety to talk about your hurts, hangups, and habits, that's a place where you can come. So peace with others often comes with understanding your own hurts, habits, and hangups, and just finding a safe place to talk about that. One of our group guidelines is that we're here not to fix one another, but we're here to support one another. And so you're not going to be offered solutions if you come to Celebrate Recovery. We share the word. We share that Christ is our hope, of course, that he's our highest of higher powers, if you will. But it's as you come and you share your struggle that you find support. And so that's a place where one can find that. And if you're walking through forgiveness towards others, you often need support to help forgive them. You often need support even to make amends to someone if you've done some harm to them in the past that you don't know how you're going to be able to make amends. You'll need that support. Third part of experiencing peace is peace within yourself. It's different questions that we can ask ourselves here. Is my heart right with him today? And am I listening to him? Maybe you're struggling with fear and anxiety today. There's a lot of that anxiety these days. Hebrews 3:15 says, as has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Sometimes God speaks to us and prompts us to step out in faith in some way. Maybe it's even just to go and make that call to someone to encourage them. Something that God may have prompted you, and maybe you decided, no, I'm not going to listen to that prompting. And, you know, that's just kind of setting yourself up for, you know, delayed obedience is disobedience, right? And so how to shake up that peace within is to not listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. And I know this is a struggle I struggle with too, is to be obedient to that voice as the Spirit prompts to step into the things that he would have me do. But if you don't step in, can begin to experience, of course, that uncomfortability of his Spirit saying, will you listen? Will you trust me? Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think what's amazing about that passage is really, I think it moves us from a self-centric perspective or a me focus, and it moves me to a Christ-centric reality. Who am I trusting in? Am I trusting in the Christ who is seated at the right hand of the Father? Or am I going to trust in the circumstances around me? Am I paying attention to the storm that's raging around me and getting caught up in that? And fears get triggered very easily, or anxieties, especially if we're just going on in our way. If we get busy, we can tend, this is what I was saying earlier, is we can tend to forget God in the busyness of life when he's inviting us, I think, to slow down. It was a really stressful place when I worked with the homeless in our recovery program. We had almost 100 guys living in residence, and there was like 3 or 4 of us working with 100 guys. And we had to meet with them weekly to support them in their recovery. And we had programming and all kinds of other stuff. Our schedules were full. And at times, it was a time of anxiety and that I would feel at times. And I realized, oh, Lord, I'm doing this in my power. I need to stop. And so anxiety is a good wake-up. So if you begin to feel anxiety or your chest kind of tightening up, that's your wake-up to say, I need to stop. I need to ask God, once again to come with his peace that passes understanding and to fill me afresh. Colossians 3:15, that other verse that we're going to be looking at, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Peace here, I hope, really is that peace checkup. And I hope we do a checkup on our peace on a regular basis. How is my peace? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is supposed to be how we carry ourselves at all times, to be walking in his peace. And so if things are out of whack, if I'm not experiencing his peace, I need to ask myself, am I right with him? Am I trusting in what Jesus did in my life? Am I trusting in how he's been leading me? Is the Spirit pointing anything out that I may not be paying attention to? Perhaps it has to do with others. Maybe there's something someone did to you this week that you maybe just kind of blew past and didn't even realize, oh yeah, that hooked me a bit. And I was a bit annoyed that person brought that up in that meeting, and that felt like a put down towards me, and I'm feeling a little upset about that. And maybe the Spirit's saying, you need to let that go. Are you willing to forgive that person? So this week, is there something that somebody did in your life that you need to let go of? That you need to say, God, I forgive them. I usually have, one time, the first couple times, I just pray and I give it to God. But if this is a repeated kind of a situation, usually on the third time, it's like, okay, I maybe need to say something to this person. Like, I didn't quite get what you were saying. That almost sounds, is this what you mean by what you said? And asking questions that'll help clarify what it is that person's experiencing. Maybe they aren't intentionally trying to hurt me or put me down or anything like that, but asking a question can sometimes clarify. And so usually on the third time, if something happens, for me, that's just my rule, general guideline I go by is, give a couple freebies, yeah, but then, but again, when we confront somebody or when we talk to somebody, we're giving opportunity to build relationship with someone. And so we can experience peace, we can experience a deeper understanding of someone else in the process, let alone ourselves in that process of forgiving others. And then self, are we listening to the Spirit's prompting in our lives? And even giving grace to yourselves. Forgiving self can be a hard thing. There's really nowhere in Scripture, I think, where it says to forgive yourself, that you need to forgive yourself, but it does say to love others as Christ has loved you. So you need to love yourself, and loving yourself is giving yourself grace. And so one of the things that I would sometimes do with guys in recovery is to say, you know what, you need to forgive yourself for some of the things you did in the past. It's like, you know what, just something simple is, walk in a mirror or walk in the bathroom, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I forgive you. I forgive you for. And just spell it out and just give it to God in the presence of God. Forgive yourself. Let yourself off the hook. I remember one time I was reading on forgiveness and actually this whole idea of forgiving yourself. And the person who was writing, I think it was Understanding God's Love and Forgiveness by Bill Bright. But anyways, he was talking about if you're not willing to forgive yourself and God is, you're essentially saying that you're living in pride because you're saying that you know better than God. And so that was kind of revolutionary, like a wake-up for me. It's like, you're right. And then I felt the Spirit saying, well, how long are you going to hang on to this one time when I was struggling to forgive myself for something that I had done? And it says, like, when are you going to finally let this go? And I kind of looked at my watch and kind of, well, maybe tomorrow at 2. No, I just didn't give a time for it. I said, Lord, you're right. I give up. I surrender. I forgive myself. And I experienced that release in my spirit. I knew it was God that was speaking to my heart at that point in time. So we need to give ourselves grace. We need to give ourselves grace, and we need to forgive ourself that grace and mercy that Christ extends to us. So this couple other thoughts that came through my Lenten reflections in terms of self through Steve Bell was he talked about two ideas in this Christmas season. Two ideas. One is recollection and one detachment. And he talks about that with the recollection side of things, that we live fragmented lives. I think before COVID, we were running so busy, we were running every which direction. He talks about here that we lived in so many different communities at once. We may be living in church community, we may be living in a work community, in sports community, family community, we may have a political community, we may even have an artistic community. So we were split in so many different directions. And in the process, we were spread so thin that we were fragmented. And so maybe we need to stop and we need to realize, how can I pull all those parts of myself? Am I fully present in all aspects? Is Christ working in my life in such a way that I am at peace with God, others, and myself? And can I be myself in all those places where I connect with people, period? Where I'm not just one person here, one person there. Yeah. And even in terms of the fact that we have all this access to internet and the news that we see in one part of the world today can impact us. And maybe take time even with that is to take time just to turn off your cell phones. Imagine that, right? To turn off your devices, not to stay connected for 24 hours. In fact, that is a Sabbath practice in, well, Judaism. But nonetheless, that is a practice to turn the phone off, set it aside for a day and not be intruded upon by emails or distractions, and just spend time recollecting yourself in God's presence. That's one aspect in this Advent season. Second aspect in terms of taking care of self is detachment. Detach from those things which you don't need to hang on anymore. Of course, Hebrews 12 talks about that. It talks about sin. Don't hang on to that as you're running the race. Or the things that so easily entangle us. Even good things can entangle us. And maybe there's some times where we need to prioritize things in our lives and even some good things to begin to say, you know what, maybe in this next few months, I need to step away from that responsibility. And I just need to take that time to connect afresh in the Spirit with the Lord. Spend some time with Him. And so Steve, in his book, he gave some opportunities to do these things. And I'll give us these challenges in terms of action today. In this Advent season, take time and step out of the fray into silence, solitude, and fasting. So maybe especially in the first couple weeks here of Advent. Then he talks about move into the desert where there is little to distract. So if you can find a place to be alone for a little while, just take that time. Families, you know, I can relate to this. If family is driving you crazy sometimes, find that spot where you can just go and park the car somewhere and let it run, especially in this cold weather, and just spend some time with the Lord for a time. And just, God, I just need to unwind. I just need to have some peace. Take some of that time. Give yourself some time to detox from the culture of endless, empty consolations and fruitless attachments. That's a lot to say. But if there are attachments that are fruitless that you need to let go of, think through some of those priorities. And then provide yourself with the opportunity to feel what it is you're really hungry for. I think at the heart of it is we're really hungry for more of Him in our lives. We want more of Jesus. Like John the Baptist talked about, less of me and more of Christ. I hope that's our prayer today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. Every one of us comes to you broken, empty, in need of you. So we come to you saying, we need you. Come and meet us in this place. If we've never put our trust in you, Jesus, help. Let this be the moment. Say, Jesus, I invite you in. Come in to my life. Holy Spirit, if there's somebody that's brought to mind that we need to forgive, help us to go and to forgive that person or persons. There's some steps that you want me to take this week to take time away with you. Pray that you would give us the will and the resolve to intentionally plan to do that. And Lord, as we anticipate Christmas, there's the bigger picture. You are the King who is preparing to return. Help us to be open to those things that you would have us pay attention to as we anticipate, as we expect your return that could come at any time. And Lord, as well, I pray that we would, as we walk in peace, I pray that we would then, in turn, be emissaries or be ambassadors or be people who offer that peace to others. That you too can experience this peace. Help us to see opportunities around us, even in this season, just to be an encouragement, just to come along somebody who's going through brokenness even, just to bring the peace of Christ to them, to pray with them, to journey with them through what they're struggling with, to pray for them or to offer to pray for them. God, lead us, I pray, this week. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.